feel like it's hard out here for a dork, especially if you're a female dork. I feel like there was like an era where female dorks were like appreciated.
No way. The nerd culture and dorkyism or whatever, being seen as a dork is like, it's maybe not
but
like...
But I mean actually being a dork.
It's not like in 2012 or when I was in high school or whatever, when there was like girls would wear like Austin Powers glasses, but with no frames in them. for the nerdy
look. No, I'm not talking about that. I just mean genuinely being like kind of neurotic, a little bit like... just a space cadet, just like a weirdo or whatever. There was like a little window of time there where like it worked for me because it was like culturally like appreciated. But I feel like now being overconfident to the point of like projecting narcissism is like the thing.
It's because everyone is trying to be a streamer these days, right? Like everyone, I don't know. Maybe
everyone has
not...
like a Twitch streamer's personality, you mean?
Yeah, kind of. Like, maybe, like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't think if you, like, when you see people interviewed, like, in the 60s or even, like, in the 50s and 40s and stuff, like, they're very direct. It's not like they're unsure of themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a minority of people that overprojects like that.
Yeah.
But majority of people are probably, like, not, like, timid, but not, like... Not as surely spoken, I feel like.
I don't know. I feel like everything is like a performance now. Everyone's like, everything's like hyper real. Everyone's doing a kayfabe. Like, I was watching like a video earlier today of some woman complaining about this new like podcast guy that's been doing the rounds. He's like, you know who, he was on Your Mom's House, I think, that podcast that you like.
Oh, yeah.
And he's that like, he's like an MRA. Like type, he's like, it says misogynistic inflammatory things.
Black guy,
he's a white, I don't know what he is, he's like really racially ambiguous, he's bald.
No, so he's not, I don't think I watched the episode on YMH, but like I have seen many CoffeeZilla videos and stuff.
He's
talking
bald
about him.
He has like a very strange, his accent is like kind of like mine. He's it's like British and American, and I'm really annoyed by the way he talks.
Isn't he like an investment,
so I can
like,
understand why people are like annoyed by how I talk as well, but
isn't like
sorry.
Investment like money like
yeah he has like a crypto guy. Grind like scam website where that he directs people to like learn how to be billionaires.
Yeah, it's like yes, like that old trick.
His whole business model is basically saying inflammatory things, getting people outraged, and then getting like low brow dudes to like subscribe to his like grind set crypto bro thing.
Subscription for lessons on how to
and
lose
that's the thing
money.
Is it's so obvious that what he's doing is like a fucking performance. Like half the time he's smiling because you can tell he's not even taking the crazy shit he's saying seriously.
Yeah, it's the same with Kevin Samuels.
Yeah, like
there's a little glint in his eye.
Yeah,
when he says shit like that.
Like there was one, I think he said something like, oh, I hang out with my brother all the time. And I have a brother and a sister, and my brother, I live with my brother. I would let my brother fuck my girl. Like, I love my brother. I would die for him. But I got nothing that I talk to my sister about because I got nothing to say to a female. And, like, just, like, ridiculous shit like that. That's, like, so obviously, like, over the top. But, yeah, there's, like, a counter-industry of, like, outrage. And you have people like Hassan and all of these, like, big stream people. They're, like, so happy because they have someone that they can react to and like pump for content.
Yeah.
And people are actually watching it and taking it seriously, even though it's so obviously like a performance. And like, this is so normal now. And this is also bled into real life where I feel like, yeah, everyone has this hyper confident, hyper fake kayfabe thing going on to mask their insecurities. And as somebody who's like very neurotic and like, I guess like a weird girl, I feel really uncomfortable because it's just not my thing. And like, if you show people your idiosyncrasies or insecurities, they almost view it as like a sign of weakness nowadays. Like you're supposed to have some kind of like character that you've put lots of thought into or some shit.
I don't even think it's that. I think that just in the age of the internet now, like, or maybe not even in the age of the internet because that's too long a scope. Maybe that is the case because you had all those viral clips of like fucker in the pussy, that guy from like 2005 or whatever, like that feels like it was quite a long time ago. But like people are more aware that this is gonna live and be seen potentially forever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before people would express themselves and be like, yeah, that's the news, or that's some like piece of journalism that someone's interviewing me for. Mm-hmm. But now any moment is a potential moment to turn into your viral sensation,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
or even
not even
in a cynical way, maybe as such as that, but like in a way that I need to kind of say something really like on the money. I need to be correct about this. It can't be just so it prevents people maybe from being as honest or as
then again, it's
direct as they would be. It's libidinal.
That's the thing. Like, it's like that scene in, I think it's, what's that movie called again? Like Newsroom or like Network or something, where he's like, you've sinned against the forces of nature.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like when we rail against these sort of market logic incentives, it feels like you're just like railing against the forces of nature at this point, and there's no point doing it.
Forces
even
of
though,
nature, that's what the Illuminati want you to feel.
Yeah,
like
but even, even then, it's like, I feel like it's still worth criticizing because of the effect it's having on society and art.
Mm.
And culture and entertainment, and also our social relations in terms of how we view each other and how we perceive the world, which is why I like constantly beat the drum. But it is literally like, it is how it is. We're the age of kayfabe.
Mm.
We're in the fucking age of kayfabe. And it's not just me trying to kind of pathologize everyone else to kind of rationalize my own social discomfort, but maybe it is. Maybe I'm just crazy. It could just be my copium. But I do feel like there has been a quote-unquote vibe shift in the way people carry themselves now because of the internet. Everyone's sort of, like, ready, camera ready. Like, I was watching this thing today. I was, like, scrolling through TikTok or whatever. And there's this guy in Camden Market in London who basically just goes... Because Camden Market has become, like, the TikTok hub of London.
Mm.
Which is so kind of shit because it used to be kind of like the countercultural hub, and now it's just like fucking TikTok.
Yeah, that's what TikTok is, bro. TikTok is like counterculture.
It's fucking, that's pretty fucking sad, dude. But yeah, like this guy goes up to people in Camden Market and basically says memes, yells memes at them. And it was like, oh, she's a 10, but blah, blah, blah. And if someone came up to me with a camera and said a meme, my first reaction would be to be so awkward, to like stumble over my words, I'd probably do something really like embarrassing because I'm not prepared for that kind of scenario ever on a daily basis.
Those videos are fake, babe.
Well, no, they're not. Like, some of them are real reactions from people because you do see people who do stumble over their words and aren't expecting it. But there's the odd few who are like, fucking camera, like they're ready with a performance, like they've been waiting for their moment, like they wore their outfit
because
hoping that someone would spot them in Camden and make a TikTok featuring
those
them.
Those people either are two things. They are either plants of the people making the videos so that you get some that are natural and some that are like actual winners, quote unquote, or they're people that have seen this guy starting to and so they get ready.
I would think that.
And they have responses to a bunch of memes
I would
planned
think
out,
that
and then they go to Camden and wait for this guy.
Maybe, but I would think that if it wasn't for the fact that I see it all the time when we go to Camden, I see influencers everywhere filming themselves. So, like, or people who are dressed looking like they're waiting for their main character moment to happen.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, really crazy. It's really insane.
I don't know if
and no one else notices it. Everyone feels like, everyone I know anyway, feels like it's normal.
Because,
and I'm like, it's not normal.
Because I'm in Soho so much, I don't feel like...
Oh, Soho, like, I see it all the time.
No, pay
attention.
Like people are just dressed extravagantly.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, it's just...
But I see influencers around
Soho. It's just the fashion there. And, like, when you... So when I see someone dressed extravagantly, I don't think, oh, they're trying to do whatever. It's just sort of like, oh yeah, it's just another crazy person.
No, like, it's not just dressed extravagantly. It's like dressed extravagantly with like fucking what's the pole thing that they carry out in front of them with
a
camera
stick.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, not like that.
And like multiple takes of the same shot constantly. Like, you can see it, you can tell when you see an influencer.
Maybe
and
it's
I see
tears.
So many of them all the time around
in Soho. You either see like, well, there is this legendary guy that I see all the time. He's like, I think in his late 70s or nearly 80.
Yeah.
And he's always just completely dressed to the nines. Like some incredible suit with like a full waistcoat and like a beautiful tie and a hat and ridiculous shoes. in different suits every time you see him. And he lives in like one of the bit like, you know, that's been up since the whenever post-war and stuff. And it's just like, dude, you look like an absolute legend.
Just out of time.
And he's always just having a great time, just bowling around solo.
But you see a lot of eccentric people like, this is different.
But then you see a lot of like bougie, young, skinny women in like oversized jackets, like the whole model thing.
You see that everywhere.
Sternly looking like they're just too cool for anyone, like straight ahead. Yeah. Like you see that all the time.
Yeah.
But they're not there with a selfie stick. It's like classes of influence, right?
Yeah.
If you were high fashion or if you're doing fashion in Soho, it'd probably be regarded as pretty like degrading to start getting your selfie stick out.
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Like the high fashion is like kind of very much involved, especially with like all the goofy shit Balenciaga has been up to and stuff.
Do they want to? I feel like they feel like they're higher than that.
Not anymore, dude. Trust me. Trust me, dude. It's already that bridge has already been fucking crossed.
Oh.
But even then, like I don't know. It just feels like. Yeah, kayfabe is, like, more normalized, even in terms of, like, entertainment and, like, voices on the internet and stuff. There's this pressure to have, like, a thing, a really big performative character that you do all the time, and that's how you keep an audience, like, engaged. And you see very few people out there who are, like, eclectic.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not necessarily saying like you can ever be fully authentic online. I don't think that's possible because you can only show a specific version of yourself or whatever. But there isn't that kind of, I don't know. It just feels like you're more incentivized to like be heightened constantly.
Mm.
And I can't live that way. I don't have the temperament for it. I guess some people are more suited to it than others. But I feel like because of how hostile social relations are becoming and how competitive the world is also becoming too, people are going to be put under so much more pressure in the near future to perform a persona in public. And it kind of reminded me of that episode of Black Mirror.
I feel like people have to do that already anyway.
Yeah, there's a certain amount, like before you could kind of get by on social niceties alone in that sense and like kind of
being
conscientious enough to read the room, whereas now you need to make yourself entertaining and brave and stunning or whatever. And it's like, it's like, it reminded me of like, Nosedive, that episode of Black Mirror. Mm. And I remember when I first watched it, I thought how fucking exhausted I would be as like an introverted, like neurotic person living in that kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you have to have like a smile plaster on your face constantly so that people don't downvote you for looking sad.
Yeah.
And that's how it feels whenever you kind of occupy the digital realm. And it seems like that's getting more and more normalized in real life. Like I remember the other day I was at somewhere, I think I was at like the pharmacy or whatever. And I just had, like, resting bitch face because that's just how I look. And then this lady came over to me and was like, oh, my God, are you okay? Like, blah, blah, blah.
I liked that episode because it kind of did, it put numbers and figures and, like, stuff to interactions that we do have to do all the time anyway to maintain, like, social graces and whatever. Like, particularly the last, like, however long, like, month, 2 months, we've been going through this bullshit with our flat search and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been super fucking depressed, super fucking stressed.
Yeah.
I'm doing fucking meetings with people and stuff, and you're not even in meetings and stuff. Like, in the meetings, you've got to obviously be jovial and fucking give the spiel and the whole fucking shtick. But then, like, even just around the office, you can't look fucking stressed and depressed and moping around because people would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I struggle with
that. It's just like, you have to kind of be a bit, like, you got to put on a face.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I struggle with that so much. Which is why I've had to make it in my life so that I do multiple things, so that I work for myself. Because I can't do the whole office thing. Because I can't fake a smile. It drains me. It's harder and harder for people who don't have the sort of extroverted temperament it takes to, and basically you're a product, you're constantly supposed to be selling yourself, and in order to constantly sell yourself you need to be constantly stimulating, constantly effervescent. It's so like draining. And like, if you're constantly focusing all your energy on keeping people's attention and getting their approval, what time do you have to think about things? Like, if you're most people who I know who are deeply intellectual are like curmudgeons in some form or another. And it takes like time to penetrate their character and to get to the magic of who they really are. Like, there are people who I have written books that I found fascinating, and then I watch interviews with them and they seem like pretty plain.
Yeah.
Or like, I just can't listen to them talk because I find them dull. Like, Noam Chomsky is an example.
Mm.
Or like, even Carl Jung. Like, whenever I've tried to watch interviews with Jung, like, sometimes he'll drop truth bombs. But for the most part, it's kind of monotonous to listen to him speak.
Yeah, it was like, I've been reading...
I don't think he would be sellable these days. And everything is about being sellable.
I've been trying to read William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch at the moment. Yeah. And I said this about that, like, literally the other day.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way, dude, that someone would be actually publish and have success.
Yeah.
Especially to the extent that Naked Lunch did and the impact that had like in for like, you know, writing and whatever. It just wouldn't be done today.
No,
there's no fucking way. Both the subject, all the language in it as well, like,
absolutely,
it's
not.
Pretty fucking racy, like, and it's so incoherent because he uses this cut tape technique where he wrote a story and then cut it all up and smashed it together in this kind of half random way.
It's so like postmodern,
so it kind of like references back to itself in this sort of synchronistic way in this really strange thing. But like, it's I was really struggling to understand what the fuck is going on with this book.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to read a review, I'll just watch a little interview of him or something.
Yeah.
And everyone reveres him as a top guy, a like top writer, really like highly respected intellectual guy, like by a lot of people that I have respect for. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, let's definitely like hear an interview with this guy. And he sounds like he's a fucking junkie from one of his books, man. Like, he's a so like, I was in Mayfair. But I didn't like to go out. I stood myself.
He wouldn't have been marketable either.
Went to Selfridges and smoked hashish in Tangier. And you're just like, I don't know, the kind of how vibrant that like his imagination is clearly like, you kind of half expect a little bit more life about him.
Well, not all the time. In order to
listen to Robert Anton Wilson talk,
yeah,
and he is as lively
as his writing is. Yeah, he's as charismatic.
Even George R.R. Martin, not it maybe in the same way, but he the way he can talk and the way he's explaining or even describing what he's going like talk like his process.
It depends
and stuff.
On the person and their temperament, really, and like how comfortable they are publicly. Like some writers are more comfortable expressing themselves on the page and they're less comfortable like articulating themselves.
That's true.
But even then, like, it's like that a lot of the people who you mentioned wouldn't be marketable now.
Yeah.
Because half of the job of having any sort of public presence is...
They would be, but they'd be on Gaia. Like crazy new age subscription thing.
They'd be shadow banned everywhere.
They'd be on new age Netflix as like conspiracy channel shit.
They'd be on Rumble. Like, seriously, it's like, it does annoy me because half of the job is like basically cultivating a persona per se. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have any issues with that. Like, that's fine. It's just that the persona is like everything now.
Mm.
It's like even prized beyond actual like depth in that sense. And I guess the reason why I'm nostalgic for that like small period of the 2010s, is because I felt like it was okay to be a dork for a little bit, if you know what I mean. And as a girl, because guys are allowed to be dorks just a little bit more than girls are, I think. And like now, there's a new dork archetype that's emerging, but it's like a kind of more prudish and severe and like sexless version of it.
Mm.
Which I don't really vibe with.
Where have you seen that?
I don't want to say anything because I don't want to. I don't know. I'm not gonna be messy.
Okay.
I'm not gonna be messy. People can intuit or let their imaginations run wild or whatever. But I don't know. I just feel like there's no in between now. It's either it's like you're an e-girl with like your tits out, or you're this like severe kind of sexless, prudish, scold. It's like really abysmal cultural situation right now for women. but yeah, speaking of kayfabe, China has been piping up because Nancy Pelosi put on her stilettos and stomped across the Pacific.
Yeah, there was some like statement around we could shoot down Nancy Pelosi's plane if we want, but it's not a threat. And then like the US responded like, we didn't perceive it as a threat. And it was like, there's a lot of the word threat's getting laundered around here. Quite for a situation where there supposedly wasn't a threat. Week.
It's been a heated week on the diplomatic sort of international relations front, because Nancy Pelosi made a trip to Asia and stopped off in Taiwan, and obviously China's not happy about that, and you know there's like some military tension going on, and then I think she's due to go to Korea, South Korea now as we speak, as of where we're recording the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she's due to also visit the military region, like the line between the DPRK and
mm-hmm.
South Korea. So that's also making China and North Korea upset. And there have been threats going back and forth. And like also people being really morbid and watching and be like, this is going to be it, guys. This is World War III, guys. It's happening. I saw like people were doing like streaming parties where they were like watching as events unfold, like ticking down the time for World War III to occur.
Oh my God, that's extreme.
It's quite morbid, like the coverage of it. And I mean, I understand where people are coming from, because things are at the point where any sort of like confluence of events could trigger something that could be bad. But I also, like you said something really smart. You said that like the world is so reliant on like international trade, like globalized markets,
yeah,
that it wouldn't make sense for there to be this like giant.
It's not profitable.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that all of that stuff like mattered when nations were much more integrated into the stake of either private business, or it was enmeshed in that regard. Like mm-hmm. the latter 20th century post-war is when like privatization and capitalism starts going fucking pretty wild and crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After some you know, meager knee bending to allow for some social things to happen at the bare minimum, like the NHS and some building of houses and whatnot. But then afterwards, you know, privatization and everything business-wise just gets fucking crazy, and they become the power. Corporations mm-hmm. become, media develops, mm-hmm. becomes mm-hmm. a thing post-war.
mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. all of this stuff becomes that power transitions to private hands. It's no longer in nations.
Mm-hmm.
And for those corporations to continue succeeding, they need things to be run in business as usual. Mm-hmm. War is not profitable for fucking anyone. This whole Russia thing has been interesting to see, like, how long the business will actually sustain not being there.
Yeah.
Because I've watched a few Russian YouTubers like that are just, you know, kids kind of our age on the ground, and they suspect that it's not going to last too long, and they're keeping a lot of like stuff back, even though they've closed the doors and people aren't working anymore. They've kept stuff in Russia
mm-hmm.
for when they're going to open up again, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're like, oh yeah, absolutely no way, we make a hard stance because you're such a terrible person and we don't ever want to do this again. It's mm-hmm. just like, no, it's just right now it's like, you know, the correct thing to do.
Yeah.
Socially is yeah. to be seen to not support you in any fashion.
Yeah.
So we have to retract for now.
Well, I don't know how much it's going to escalate. I mean, obviously things are quite tense, not just in the West and the East, but like all over the world right now. There are fucking tensions and conflicts that are spiraling out of control.
And it's also like the globalization is also the cause of like all the tension as well. Like I'm pretty sure Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan is related to semiconductors and the stuff needed to make chips, and there's been a chip shortage globally for components of electronics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to probably secure some kind of fucking deal
mm-hmm.
with Taiwan, independently of China to get all these semiconductors and stuff. That's what I would imagine.
But it's also like a diplomatic. It's also, I think it's also a way of the and US showing.
And she probably has some private, you know, inside information about some businesses that might be getting some products coming in soon.
Same with the Bidens as well and all of that shit. But what was I saying? Yeah, I feel like it's also a way of America swinging its dick because they're like, we're coming straight up to your fucking lawn, motherfuckers, and you're not going to do shit about it type of thing. And like, I was surprised that there wasn't any because the way that shit, especially with all the propaganda that you get about China and the West, like, oh, they're dead. Like, it's this weird thing where China is simultaneously strong and a threat, and they're like, oh my god, they're gonna, China's the biggest threat to this, blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, they're like, oh no, they can't do shit, their banks are failing, blah, 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 blah. So you're constantly sort of gaslit with this, like,
you'd never propaganda. Know the proper
you never
situation.
Know, like, yeah, you can, it's impossible to know, like, for sure what the situation
like,
is or whatever.
The truth is somewhere probably in between both of those things.
Yeah.
And you're not sure weighted which way or if it's bang on in the middle.
Yeah.
But, that's definitely probably not what either one is saying, basically.
Exactly. It's like, and then there's also some other petty shit that's been going on as well with, like, political prisoners. So basically, a WNBA player.
Oh, yeah. She got caught for weed in
Russia,
didn't
she? Yeah, she got caught for weed in Russia, and they haven't released her, even though the American government is trying to do, like, a prisoner trade and doing what they can. They haven't released her, and it sort of reminded me of the story from a few years ago. I remember this one. It was this American kid who was, like, top of his class in school. He was kind of like a preppy boy, and he went to Hong Kong for university. And while he was in Hong Kong, he got given the rare opportunity to go to North Korea with a group of his fellow students to basically, as tourists, to see it. And he was, like, having a great time on the vacation, basically seeing this weird country and, like, doing all this stuff. And they stayed in the famous, like, hotel in North Korea where they keep all of the guests that come.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the place is bugged with cameras, like, mm-hmm. and microphones everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an infamous, I believe, fifth floor, I believe, where it's where the employees stay, and it's like their living quarters, and there's like North Korean propaganda posters like plastered everywhere. And he basically thought it would be funny to go to this infamous fifth floor, because whenever tourists go up there, they don't get in trouble. They just get turned away because it's assumed that they're confused. But he went there knowing that there were posters up there. So he then stole one and the camera caught him. And this guy basically took the poster, thought he was on his way, made it all the way to the airport, thought he was leaving on his jolly way with this poster in his fucking suitcase. And then all of a sudden, the North Korean authorities show up and they arrest him as he's about to leave. And his mate thinks it's over something minor, and he's like, oh, this is the last time I'm going to see you again. Leaves. His mates leave, and he's, like, fucking under arrest, and they keep him there. And then, I don't know if you saw the video, they forced him to basically beg and do this, like, apology. And the video is, like, so disturbing because he obviously looks so desperate. And he's saying all this stuff that's clearly he's been forced to say. Stuff like, oh, North Korea treats criminals like me compassionately and stuff. Like, stuff he's been coached to say or whatever. And the American government Obama tried to, like, put pressure on them to get him back. And they eventually sent him back, but when they sent him back to America, they sent him back in a vegetative state.
Yeah.
And he passed away or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously it's sad, but, like, I think that there is some responsibility you do have when you go abroad to know what the rules of a country are and to, like, follow them.
Yeah, definitely. And if there's anywhere you don't want to fuck around,
yeah.
it's probably, like, North Korea.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, you can't really go there unless you have permission, like, and stuff.
He did. He got a special opportunity because it was with a group of students.
Well, there you go, then.
And he should have just behaved. And I mean, they do warn you.
Yeah.
But it's dangerous. But after that case with him, they actually banned Americans from being tourists in North Korea. So Americans are no longer allowed to do tourism in North Korea after this case happened. And if someone's stupid enough to do it, they get fucking detained, then that's, like, kind of, you know, Yeah. If you go to a country that has rules that are different, you gotta fucking respect them. And if you don't, you risk serious problems.
Yeah.
And also, it's so difficult to get... it's so hard to get, like, anything criminal settled abroad. Like, I remember back in the early 2000s, there was, like, a trend of, like, middle-class girls in England going to Japan to either strip or to work at those hostess cafes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that really famous case of the girl who did it and went missing. And then her parents got Tony Blair involved and they were begging the Japanese authorities to like release information. And they didn't find out till years later that like she had been murdered by some crazy like rich guy. But like, if you're going abroad, just be fucking careful, man. You're leaving your environment that you know. And even though I feel bad for this WNBA player, like, weed is illegal and it's a serious drug in certain places. Like, how could you not? If I would double check, triple check my fucking...
I heard they're swapping her for some spies. So it just shows how much leverage Russia has.
Wow.
Because ordinarily, I don't think they would be trading spies
for a
WNBA player.
No.
Maybe not even an NBA player.
Yeah.
not being mean, but, like, do you know what I mean? If it was, like, LeBron James or something, they might make an effort.
Well, remember, what's his name? Dennis Rodman had that, like, love affair with...
Kim Jong-un's great guy. He's just misunderstood.
Like, he went into Korea, no problem. And came out of the situation unscathed and then became kind of public enemy number one in America because of how he, you know, glowingly he was talking about Kim Jong-un at the time, which was really weird. But yeah, like, I don't know. I feel bad for the girl. I think it's a shitty thing to be detained for weed, but Russia is Russia, dude. They have, like...
Yeah, Russia, again, not a country I would fuck around in. Like,
yeah.
Let me list the top countries I would not fuck around in. Russia and North Korea are top of that list. Like, mm-hmm. North Korea probably top of that list.
Just anywhere in Asia, dude. China?
Russia's second on that list. China third on that list. Japan fourth on that list.
Yes, Japan the definitely 100% not.
Conviction rate definitely makes me uneasy.
Yeah, dude, especially as a foreigner. I have friends who have so many stories about getting in trouble with Japanese authorities and, like, fucking paying the price, dude.
Yeah, so forget that. Number five on the list, Saudi Arabia. Wouldn't fuck around in Saudi Arabia.
Maybe don't do that.
Anywhere in the Emirates.
Anywhere in Africa, dude.
I wouldn't be there drinking out in public, getting my dick out, or, like, trying to shoot a porno or do anything fucking that's edgy in those countries. Because you might lose a limb or something, bro. And I don't think that's racist to say. Like, they run by different rules out there. What? And, like, they will fuck you up. Like,
even in Nigeria.
I heard a story. Where, like, I've had many, like, colleagues and stuff that have lived and worked in Dubai for many years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they told, like, this one guy I met when I was having beers with my brother. He was telling me he had hired a guy to come and work out there for his company. And he needed to drive out into the desert and go and meet these clients or something. And this sheik, like this proper wealthy guy, was coming down the other side of the highway, completely pissed.
Damn.
Like triple over your blood limit, whatever the fuck. Like completely fucking wrecked. Reeking of vodka. Fucking... speeding down this highway, loses control of his Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Smashes into this guy.
Yeah.
Kills him.
Fuck.
This guy drives off. And the Arab sues the family or whatever because he wouldn't have crashed his Rolls Royce if he hadn't have come to his country.
Wow.
And that's how it fucking rolls out there, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Like,
I mean,
if you hadn't have come to my country, I wouldn't have crashed my car.
Yeah.
Even if I was drunk, it doesn't fucking matter. If you weren't there, then there wouldn't have been a fucking problem, would there?
In Nigeria, too, as well. Like, there's all kinds
fuck around in Nigeria.
Yeah, dude. And the police are on a fucking power trip. I was on some NSAS shit when we were there in last summer. Because, like, remember that time when we were going back from that club with my brother? In the cars, and we got stopped at that police checkpoint. I was shitting
that was
bricks.
Pretty tense.
I was so fucking scared because we're a bunch of like what they call Ajay Butters. which means eaters of butter, which basically means like English kids or whatever, expats. And we're in like a nice car and like fucking, like I was fucking shitting bricks, dude. And like in Nigeria, if you wear camouflage, that's considered like stealing valor from the police force.
Mm.
And there was a guy next to us who was wearing like a camouflage hoodie.
Oh.
And that's why they were like, they fucking made him get out of the car. They were pointing their fucking guns at the guy. And my brother and his driver were basically mousier than I've ever seen them in my life when the police came to the door of our car. And me and Jake were like, oh my God, oh my God. We were like being so British. We're like, oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? And like the fucking police officer was like trying to get angry, but because my brother acted submissively and so did his driver, they let us go by some special grace or mercy. But it was like about to get ugly. And that was like the first kind of scary, like third world experience that I like ever had.
That was very intense.
Yeah. And I was scared because you were with me. I was like, how am I going to explain this to my boyfriend's like white mother? Like, how am I going to fucking explain it? But yeah, it was like some fucking, it was pretty scary. It was a fucking scary experience.
Where else would
I've been stopped by American cops with my mom and I was a lot less scared. Like people think American cops are scary. Nigerian cops will fucking, they're like the cops in GTA when you're like on 5 stars or whatever. Like when you're on 5 stars, that's how the fucking Nigerian cops act. They're like so intense.
So Nigeria. So the whole of the Emirates were counted as number five. The rest of Africa, like the whole of Africa, were calling number six. Basically,
behave yourself and don't draw attention to yourself.
Number seven. I'm probably gonna put America at number seven.
Yeah, America's pretty edgy, dude.
I wouldn't want to fuck around in America.
No, most
places in America.
Even unless you get to the airport, you see police with guns. It's just like, damn, like you guys clearly mean business here. Like,
well, it's different.
You see bureaucrats when you come to England.
You see police with guns when you get into Amsterdam airport, but they go, oh, you're here to smoke the weed, yeah? And then you're just like, yeah, man, like, where are you going? And they just point you. Like, do you know what I mean? It's a different vibe. But
no, but I mean, in America, it's like serious guns, like serious guns, and also mean-looking dudes.
Well, it's not even just and police. Like, it's just even if you like look at someone wrong, in the wrong part of town.
Yeah, man.
Bang.
Yeah, dude.
You're done.
Like last time I was there, my friend, we were like high, and we went to McDonald's at like 3 a.m. No, this was the second to last time I was there. We went to McDonald's at like 3 a.m. to get some like food because we were starving. And this lady came over to us and she was like, do you have a dollar? And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't have a dollar. I'm sorry. And then she's like, you fucking bitches. And I was so scared. And it was like very frightening. And I'm not used to that kind of thing. And yeah.
And there were like two crackheads behind.
Oh my God, in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they literally look like. They look like characters from a fucking David Lynch fucking film or something. Yes.
We had our Lost Highway moment at 7-Eleven. I think it was somewhere in New York. I think we were in Queens.
Full meth heads or whatever the
fuck
they were on.
I was so frightened.
Where their faces were like distorted and you could see they were like sizing us up in this this kind of way.
Yeah.
And it was just like you could see like, it was like you could see Bob Flash.
Yeah, like Bob from Twin Peaks.
Exactly.
Literally that same greasy vibe that like Bob from Twin Peaks has.
It's like you can see it's not sweat.
Demons.
It's not sweat.
Yeah.
It's literally grease.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's not like, oh yeah, I'm just hot and I'm kind of a bit. No, like somehow it's just like
clinging to their skin, like the layer
slime.
Of this. Yeah,
maybe
dude.
Grease isn't even the right word to use. It's a form of like slime.
It depends on where you go in America, but America has its edgy parts, and also it's just like a very kind of like punitive society in that sense.
Yeah,
England is like a vindictive society. Like, the law isn't in your face like that. But if you break it, you're going to suffer the consequences, if you know what I mean. But, like, there's not that, like, when you're in America, there are, like, American flags everywhere, like, symbols of nationhood and, like, civics and their police and, like, it's, like, very much of that.
I just don't know how. I don't know how you could. I can't. I like. I try and think about it sometimes.
I wouldn't break the law in America. I'd be too scared. Like an American prisons. Oh my god.
How you could be a policeman though? Like the kind of maybe I know some cops come from it from like a really good place, but there's so many arbitrary, dumb, bullshit fucking laws that you're gonna have to fucking write people up on or check people up on, that. Or just do what you're fucking... Like, you're kind of just like a street military in
a way.
I
think it's another form
like when,
of...
When they're told to fucking manhandle protesters and fucking push them back from, like, just outside the... outside number 10 and shit. Like, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there'll be some buzz in the radio come in, and then they all line up and start just pushing everyone back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, boys, like, nothing has changed in the last half an hour. We've all literally just been in the same fucking position, and now you've just been given the order, so you just come and assault a bunch of fucking civilians.
Well, like, it's
and
another
that's not
kind
even
of...
a cognitive dissonance in your fucking head.
No,
of,
it's another kind of kayfabe.
Oh, nothing's happened. Nothing out of control's happened. No inciting incidents happened yet, so we shouldn't enact that, what they've just said.
Yeah.
Just, oh, they've said it. So I'm going to do it like a fucking zombie, like
yeah.
Fella says, like a fucking zombie.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's another kind of kayfabe in that sense where the cop is a persona that's separate from the self, if you know what I mean. Like when you work any sort of job that's like in that kind of public service, even if you're a social worker, there's a certain distance between like the professional and the person. And I think that that's how the cognitive dissonance is usually handled.
It's like if in my job I had to, every time I saw someone...
It doesn't matter what your personal morality is.
Referring to something as blue.
Yeah.
When it was blue.
Yeah.
I had to tell them, no, you can't refer that to that as blue. You have to refer that to that as red because that's the law.
Yeah.
I'm doing it every time. Like, I literally can't... You know... It's just, do you know what I mean? It's something that's so stupid and doesn't need to even exist in reality, but you still enforce it because
yeah,
it's dumb. Like, I'll give you a real world example that I actually like saw the other day. It was pretty funny. Like, this guy had made his own electric bike. And I don't know how the police had kind of cottoned on to that, like, it wasn't a proper bike or whatever was going on. But they stopped him and was like, oh, listen, mate, this is illegal, yeah? You can't be making your own bikes. Who's going to insure this? No one. Like, you got to have proper papers for this kind of shit.
And Jake was like, you're fucking with my freedom. My freedom.
Like, well, bro,
to make some crazy, Back to the Future bike. It's going to break the time barrier.
Let me finish here. Let me finish.
And unleash chaos on us all. Because I think the state's doing its job, Jake.
Because the Uber and fucking Lime and all those companies have those electric scooters.
Mm-hmm.
They go pretty fucking fast.
Yeah, but like...
They're on the roads.
They're like
no
licensed.
I don't think they are. I don't think you have to have your CBT or whatever license to get on one of those.
No.
So like, you know,
let the guy
fuck?
Be free.
Yeah, bro.
Let him ride his like crazy like Rick Sanchez bike around.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, those are electric scooters. So like, and what's the difference between a scooter and a bike? The whole thing was like, it's not an electric bike; it's a motorbike because it's an electric motor. Therefore,
so what you're saying? So you're saying that like, number six on the list of countries that you would not fuck around in is England, because you'll get harangued with some kind of awful bureaucratic process that will like slowly suck the life out of you.
Yeah, but that's
you might not get thrown in jail.
It's pretty low on the list in terms
but you're
of like
fucking,
you know,
you'll get.
Yeah, I'm not going to be made a vegetable. I'm not going to be like disappeared in Serbia or in like the Chinese mountains somewhere. Like, you
I
know,
can just imagine you doing so because you're quite.
You know what
that's
I mean?
The reason why I'm afraid to visit Asia with you because you're like so naughty, and I feel like you would do something bad. And when I was watching that
I
video,
I behaved myself in Nigeria.
You behaved yourself in Nigeria for sure, but you kept like trying to find weed.
No, I didn't. That's
you
a total
did.
Lie.
You were like kind of whispering it around and like trying to fucking score. Like the crackhead that you are.
I was interested.
And I was like, maybe we shouldn't
try
to buy weed in Nigeria because I don't know what the sitch is like. And I don't want
to
like.
To try some Nigerian weed.
But none of my brothers or his friends smoke weed anymore because they're like old. So.
Well, the culture is like kind
and
of.
And I wasn't going to go on a drug run with you in a third world country. Sorry,
like,
dude.
The culture's more like drinking.
Yeah, people like are fucking alcoholics.
They drink a lot in Nigeria. They drink so much in Nigeria.
It's fucking crazy.
It's quite like a business culture.
Yeah.
It's like a business culture, which is why there's so much drinking, I think, as well.
Yeah, I can't keep up. I'm surprised at how much my mom drinks now as well, now that she's moved back there. It's like, damn, mama. Jesus Christ. But yeah, like, seriously, though, like, I'm when I saw the video of that guy crying in Korea, like, being given, like these lines that were, like, written in bad English to regurgitate, all I saw was your innocent little white boy face. And it gave me a panic attack. Because I can't imagine if that ever happened to you, if you were in, like, some situation where you've gone to China for work and then you tried to score weed or something and then you fucking, like, got arrested.
I wouldn't be
arrested.
Trying to score weed in China.
I would die.
Insane.
Don't do that to me, please.
I wouldn't try. Ever. Like, so this
because I would literally just die.
What? This is how I would approach things in China and Japan, okay? Maybe not in other places.
Jake's like, I'll go find a Yakuza.
No, dude.
You wouldn't do any
of that.
If
you're at a party...
Never do anything bad abroad.
If you're at
just
a party,
fucking be straight. And
let me finish. If you're at a party and someone's like, "Hey, bro, you look like you're a fucking, you know, let's have a smoke," and it's like, "Faux show, let's fucking
no,
go."
No,
but I'm not
no,
gonna go and
no.
actively seek.
It doesn't matter. Even if you're were in China at a party and anyone offered you drugs and you were dumb enough to take it, Jake, I would find another husband. I would. If you were dumb enough to do that, I'd be like, "Fuck it." Like, you should never, ever, ever, ever fucking do that shit anywhere abroad that has, like, a draconian drug policy. Like, you can risk it if you want to so that you can have a cheeky story, or you could end up being a vegetable and end up getting returned to your family as a fucking vegetable.
If you're at a party and you, like, toke on someone's joint...
No, dude, it's completely illegal and you have no legal recourse whatsoever and you're in a completely foreign country with a completely different legal system. Even getting caught, even the suspicion...
Of what?
It's not as if they have...
Of being high...
Yes. Yes, dude. Like, you're such a Western, like, hippie dumb fuck, which is the reason why I'm so scared to take
you. Right?
No, it's not just that, dude. Anything drug related, it's you think it's not like it's as if people have a chill attitude. Like, drugs are seen as really bad.
Look at you and go, "You look a little
bit
high."
If you look like you're intoxicated on some kind of illicit substance and they can prove, if you looks like you're intoxicated on some kind of illicit substance and they can prove that you are because they can take your blood, you could fucking face serious, serious, serious legal penalties in a country where you have, like, literally no legal recourse and, like, no help. It's just not worth the risk, in my opinion. Just fucking enjoy the fucking pretty sights, eat the tasty food, drink the fucking beer. Well,
they would look at you and go, "You look a little bit high, I need to take your blood."
Well, no, I mean, if you look...
like,
I'm
no
not
fucking
saying,
way.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's just not worth being around any illicit substance.
Do you have hay fever? Because if you don't,
dude,
that means
I
you're fucking stoned.
Dude,
I
wouldn't
and I need
if
to
I were you. And I'm
sample.
Telling you, if you fucking got returned
in
a... I don't
think it's that crazy, babe.
If you got returned in a vegetable state, that's it for you, mate.
I have had friends that have told wild stories in China.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I've heard comedians tell wild stories in China
I
as
also
well.
Wouldn't recommend it. I just wouldn't. I think it's really dumb. And, like, a lot of the people... I feel sorry for people who
get
themselves...
Maybe it's that propaganda. Maybe it's what we were saying before. Like, you can't really get the proper, like, feeling of that kind of vibe until you're at the
but
place.
But you don't want to risk being the unlucky one. I guess that guy never thought that his cheeky little poster antic would get him killed. Imprisoned for a year.
North Korea
and then
is
killed.
A different kettle of fish, let's be honest. North Korea's top of the list.
It doesn't matter. China is also, like...
China's second.
Look at Russia. Russia
it's not
just
good,
Russia's, like, got this woman in fucking prison for a vape pen, I think it was, that she had, or something. She accidentally had weed or something, some form of marijuana paraphernalia in her stuff.
Mm.
And, like, that, it could be her life gone now because of this incident. It's just not fucking worth it, mate. Just fucking chill. You can do... naughty things.
No, I'm not saying I would...
Either in your own country or in places where it's, like, good, okay to do
it's
that.
It's called living in the moment, my love.
What?
It's called, that's what I'm trying to say. It's called living in the moment. It's called, even what the Chinese called, follow in the Tao, right?
Oh my god. Okay?
It's like, you know, you flow with the river of life.
Oh my god, Capiche? Jake. This is why I'm like, this is why when I saw that guy crying, I immediately thought of you getting returned back to me in a vegetative state.
No, babe.
I would be so angry at you that I would like drag your soul screaming back from Hades. Just to slap you, and then out of vindictiveness, I'll remarry and find someone else to have babies with.
Wow!
If you're that dumb that you get returned to me in a vegetative state because you decided to be cheeky in Asia, what a way to go! And then that's the story I have to tell people when they ask me what happened to you. Just think, hear my voice in your head. If someone offers you a joint in China, you better not fucking take it, okay?
No, you don't take it. It's a in the moment thing. No, it's a, if you're somewhere, dude. And people are partaking, it's not. Nah, a, dude. You go and exchange anything, and you take absolutely anything, and you not. Possess anything.
There are that some places in the world, you know, where that's automatic GTA 5 stars, dude.
You look a little bit high, sir. Straight to the camp.
Yeah, dude. I wouldn't if I were you. Speaking of GTA. And that was another big controversy of the week or whatever. That
don't bum me out, bro.
People were saying it's gone woke, but what does that even mean? Well, I'm confused.
So they
how
made,
is that possible?
They made some statements around the effect that America is past satirization at this point.
I wouldn't say that.
And
I think people are just afraid to do satire.
Yes, exactly. And not only that,
people will scream at them and try to kill them, like Dave Chappelle. Like, literal, a person came up on a stage with a makeshift gun. That's the thing about these fucking annoying, like, chapo brain libs, is that, like, satire is dead, irony. But at the same time, comedians who are attempting to satirize the current moment are getting threatened by crazy people with knives and guns.
Like, if I was GTA, if I was a GTA writer, like, I would be trying to write a fictionalized version of that story into the fucking game right now, yeah, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They basically also then said that it's still going to be funny.
Oh, but not too much fun.
No.
You're not allowed to have too much fun, guys.
But they don't
only
want,
safe fun.
They don't want to punch down.
I feel like, you know how like Russia and like China throw people in jail for like arbitrary drug offenses. I feel like in the future it will be like Western countries throwing people in jail for like microaggressions. Like foreigner people who come to the West from nations that are a little more quote unquote culturally backward will get detained indefinitely for like, I don't know, some kind of microaggression or something.
Oh my God. But yeah,
that's the future, guys.
But those statements definitely got my heckles up. A couple of red flags.
So they said safe fun.
Pretty
not
much.
Too much fun and no punching down.
And not only that, they also removed a drag queen characters that were walking around Los Santos, like in the new PS5 version. They got rid of those in fear that people would do like go and beat them up and do transphobia.
That's
on
really
them.
Like in Red Dead Redemption, they didn't get rid of the suffragettes because there were some men who were like beating up suffragettes.
Well, no, because they were integral to the story, so you couldn't get rid of them.
Well, even then, I mean, it's still kind of silly, in my opinion.
It's very silly. It's really silly. But because it's the whole
it's
thing
like, oh,
is,
we're so protected as a category that you can't even have NPCs walking around
in case people?
There's some kind of cyber abuse.
Get rid of all the black people so that we can't go around.
Like, it's
like
a game
like
where I've literally gone on mad rampages on Vespucci Beach and just, like, launched rocket launchers around. No one gives a fuck about that. No one cares about that. It's the edgy jokes that are told on, like, the radio stations. And I absolutely loved watching my brothers play GTA when I was a kid. Just Rockstar games in general, because, like, it was, like, a place where the id could run wild or whatever. And, like, I liked being around that kind of, like, pokey male energy, which is why I like comedy so much and things like that.
But in
GTA 5, when you were playing it, it was like when we first got together, you were like rinsing through that game. I remember hearing the radio stations and just like falling out laughing at some of the ridiculousness that was being said. And also how poignant it was and ahead of its time. Like, it was like before it was cringe to sort of like do that kind of cultural commentary.
Well, they did also work with just some of the top talent as well. They had,
but they were allowed to express a cultural sensibility and a sort of a skepticism about the current moment back then. Yeah. That is literally like you could be met with violence for doing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't, and like, it's like that, like a lot of the comedians that I like and a lot of the people generally in culture that I enjoy are Gen Xers, because Gen X had such a big influence on what we consumed as like, kids and teens, and the whole Gen X sensibility is they prioritize irreverence and humor over like morality and preachiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to prefer that sensibility, whereas now morality and preachiness is incentivized and like prioritized over the fun, the humor, the laughter.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why comedians are being threatened with fucking guns. And like all these Gen X comedians that made cultural contributions are unable to make further cultural contributions in this current moment, because you get fucking threatened with a fucking gun if you do.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, GCA just can't exist. The spirit of GCA can't exist in 2020 fucking two, dude. Well,
not only that, so those two red flags happened on top of this red flag happened probably, you know, when Red Dead Redemption 2 was released.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Houser left Rockstar.
Yeah.
Dan Houser wrote GTA, Bully, Red Dead Redemption.
I loved Bully. That was such a fun game.
Arguably, like, their most successful games.
Yeah. Now it'll be like the anti-bully,
and so
the kid that goes around school giving everyone lectures about social justice and toxic masculinity. I mean, like,
that would be so funny. That would be so funny.
I would. We should make it happen. We should link up with some game devs and make it happen. Like, we should do it, dude.
Oh my god.
We should make it the same character, that same like fucking like fat kid, but just like with like a with purple hair.
And so obviously video games take hundreds of people to make, especially on the scale of Grand Theft Auto and like Red Dead Redemption, these highly detailed, massive open worlds, all of this like radio stations, all the things.
Yeah.
So much detail.
Yeah.
Obviously, Dan Houser wasn't like the only person that made GTA, but he was a huge contributor to the general vibe and everything of that fucking game.
Yeah, of course.
And the series.
Yeah.
Of those games in the series. And so it's...
He's not there anymore, though.
Yeah, so it's worrying that he's not there for GTA 6.
Yeah.
And then on top of this, fourth red flag was that they were saying that the whole corporate culture of Rockstar has massively shifted in the last year or
has
2 years.
Has it?
And that essentially Rockstar was this old boys club.
Oh.
And
this naughty, naughty boys club full of toxic masculinity.
Yeah. And so they've shaken that up, and there's a lot more like diversity going
me,
on
mate.
At Rockstar now to kind of like correct for their toxic corporate culture is
goodness,
what was said
Lord,
about it in the article.
Have mercy.
And to be honest, this is going to be a hot take, but okay. If a company makes games like GTA 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2,
stuff about criminal underworlds,
they can nothing
violence,
nothing with the themes. The themes kind of LA noir, like fuck me.
Yeah,
dude.
But that's what
the
it is. That the themes are like criminal underworld, violence, anti-heroes.
But not even just that. But the detail and the quality of those games are some of the highest regarded of our current era of video games.
Yeah.
They can kind of be as boys clubby as they want. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
They are literally making the best single player fucking video games around at the moment.
Yeah.
Ubisoft, fucking everybody else that used to make cool fucking games has dropped the fucking ball. And fucking Rockstar kill it every single
fucking
time.
But not just that. This is what the whole thing is premised on, is the idea that like, women don't play video games because there's not like an incentive to, because there aren't games that are like made for the female gaze or this or that. And I mean, maybe there's some truth to that in the sense, because I remember when Animal Crossing came out, I like you and me, we played the game for like you were initially excited about it. And I was like, what's all this, like, Nintendo fucking bollocks? Like, I don't give a shit. But you were, like, super excited about the Switch and, like, making the soy face. So I bought you one for Christmas, and I bought you the new Pokemon game that you wanted with it, but then you didn't like that, and you said it was too childish.
It was too easy.
Yeah, you said it was for kids.
It didn't used to be like that. I'm not even joking when I say that.
You got really excited about Animal Crossing, and I was just like, oh, I've been hearing chatter, but I didn't play games, so I didn't really care. Then you got the game, and then you played it for, like, maybe an hour, and then you were like, oh, I don't like this. This is fucking lame. And you dropped it. But then I was like, this is fucking cool. I love this. I get to build a house. I get to have little neighbors and friends. I get to make things pretty. I get to, like, build a nest. And I was like, this is great. And that was the one game that I became, like, a sweater on. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I fucking filled that museum.
We also, like, hacked it a little bit.
I did hack it a bit. And I also, like, got a lot of favors from Patreons at the time who were just, like, blessing me with bells.
Yeah.
So I was, like, I was living the life or whatever on Animal Crossing. But, yeah, like, it was, like, a game that was sort of geared more towards, I guess, female social habits, I guess. Whereas games that are about criminal, social underworld, anti-heroes, it's more of, like, a masculine fantasy. So naturally, like, Rockstar will be a boys' club, in my opinion. But then there's this, it's sort of the idea that there's no difference between, like, men and women in our inclinations. And I think there kind of is. And not always because, like, of this toxicity thing, like, is what I'm saying.
So blurred in with all of this news was also the news that you're going to be able to play a female character as one of the main characters.
That's awesome. I would love that.
But
it depends on the type of female character she is, though. Like, if she fits the narrative. Like, I would love to see some crazy BPD ho. Like, is it set in Miami?
Apparently.
Yeah, like some crazy Miami chick who's just as antisocial and as opportunistic as the male criminals, but, like, in a feminine way, if you know what I mean, using her sort of feminine wiles. I would love to see that. I would play the shit out of that, but my worry is that they'll make her almost like a lecturer of the male characters or a foil to the male characters in that sense, rather than someone who's participating in this fun fantasy of, like, the anti-hero.
Yeah.
Which is why people gravitate towards the game in the first place. Like, I don't have a problem with women being introduced into it, but, like...
No, but I think...
It's obvious why it's a boys' club, because it's like...
If it's the combination of watering down all of the aspects of GTA,
yeah,
that
losing
people
its
love
spirit, yeah,
and getting rid of the main writer of it,
yeah,
and doing all of this stuff, and then using this as the time that you introduce a female character, yeah,
people, I would love
to
see
the gaming media, like bros or whatever, yeah, like. The response, oh, they're going to have a female character in GTA. Like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, you're going to prove that that fucking sucks if you make a shit game.
Yeah.
You could. This is, should be more emphasis to double down on what makes GTA GTA.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Yeah. Not even just to prove a point, but to, like, not cave into the fucking... It's just so...
One of the key components... Like, I think it's going to be...
It's worth mourning, man.
It's
going to
be like the BoJack Horseman GTA, in my opinion, where it's going to be super morose and self-reflective and self-referential, which is my guess. Or...
Everyone's still going to buy it. It's
still
going to be one of the
most
successful games.
You're still
going to
buy it. Don't pretend like you're not
going
to fucking buy it. You're
going
to buy it.
Actually, I don't know. I am going to wait for reviews.
I don't think that's
especially
true.
Especially after hearing this.
You've said that about every game, and you said that about Cyberpunk, and you still, like, fucking pre ordered
it.
Yeah,
I know,
exactly.
Right. Okay,
so just
that's because
stop.
I got wrapped up in the hype, and, like, you know. But there's been too many red flags with GTA, with GTA 6.
Yeah.
Way too many red flags now, yeah, at this point for me.
I mean,
to
I don't know.
There has
I
to be a really fucking sick trailer or something to actually regain the confidence that it's going to have the attitude
that it
does.
That's all
it
takes for the gamer boys, is just a sick trailer, and then their dicks get hard, and then they're like, oh, make the soy face
the
and
soy
coom
face
everywhere,
appears.
And then, like, that's it. No, but, like, even then, I'm curious to see what it will be, but, like, a massive component of GTA's appeal is its, like, social commentary and satire. And I feel like the previous game got it so spot on. Even with the black character that you play,
mm-hmm,
there's
Franklin,
a lot of social commentary in these, like, white gamer kids playing their, like, gangster fantasy through this, like, black character. And the it's very meta in the way that it sort of reflects that back to you in that sense. So it wasn't all just like anti-wokeness in the sense, because that's how it's kind of portrayed, as this like, oh, big anti-woke statement. It was actually like making a lot of social commentary that was relevant to the period as well. Mm. But since we're in this post-satire period where like people will literally try to kill you if you poke their narcissism, then I don't see GTA really being or capturing its old spirit. It would have to be brave. And it would take a really brave and stunning move to do that. If he stayed and was like, fuck. But the company doesn't want the heat. They don't want the heat of having to kind of deal with the cultural backlash of, in this day and age, of like a game that's so like explicit with its like these sorts of iconoclastic themes.
Yeah.
They're like killing the trickster, dude. The trickster is like being fucking gagged and like, fucking, and that's so, when a culture kills its fucking, like, even the most despotic medieval kings didn't, like, kill the court jester.
Mm.
Like, it was seen as, like, frowned upon to attack the court jester because his social role was, like, needed, and it was seen as something
valuable.
And, yeah, and also a release for pressures and resentments and angers. There was, people understood the meaning of that archetype, and seeing I remember when the Dave Chappelle thing happened, people were like, oh, Angie's talking about culture war again. Oh, she's reaching. Oh, you're making associations. Like, all the stupid gaslighty shit they tried to say to me. But the reason it bothered me so much is because it happened directly after Chris Rock was slapped, and it ramped up to the point where Dave Chappelle could have been fucking killed.
Yeah, man. He had a weapon. He had like a knife on him.
And no one took it seriously either, because he's now a pariah. He's public enemy number two. It doesn't matter that a threat was made on his life.
It's because he had
his guardian. Bad person. He's a.
It's because he had his guardian angel, Jamie Foxx, to swoop in and save the day.
Save the day. Save the day from the crazy man wielding a gun.
Not everyone has a Jamie Foxx.
No, not everyone has a Jamie Foxx. If only
Chris
we all
Rock
did.
Needs a Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Chris Rock needed Jamie Foxx at the Oscars. Speaking of which, Will Smith apologized.
Oh, it was, like, so fucking pathetic.
It was, like, kayfabe. Again, it was, like, hyper-reality. He's done this thing that he's publicly embarrassed himself. If it was me, I would just get my phone and record a very sincere off-the-cuff thing and leave it at that. But he had a manufactured set, polished camera angles, multiple camera angles.
Wearing his own merch.
His own merch, an intern behind it, and even a feed that was feeding him questions from the public. Like, he still needed to project this air of, I'm a very important person in dressing this, like, massive populace. It was just, like, really, like, surreal to watch.
Yeah, because he's the CEO of the brand of Will Smith.
Oh, my goodness, it's disturbing what's
that's
going
like,
on, dude.
That's,
it's
I
fucking
think, like,
disturbing.
The mentality of that, right?
It is, and it's
like,
fucking horrible.
Like,
and that's what
like
I was going
was
back
a
to.
He BP exec explaining,
yeah,
like,
explaining an oil spill.
These are the questions have come in. How many seagulls have died?
Literally.
Well, I don't know the exact number yet.
Literally.
But
he looked like a BP executive explaining an oil spill. Yes. It's so scary. And it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, where everyone has this persona and kayfabe that they're so crazy about protecting these days, and the internet has only made it worse. Like, the culture around the internet has only made it worse. And I feel like when he slapped Chris Rock, it was his kayfabe slipping. You saw who he was, which is a very vulnerable, fragile, insecure human being.
Mm.
Somebody who has serious issues. And it feels very insecure in their sense of self. And his very highly manufactured apology video was his way of concealing his insecurities. He couldn't come on and be authentic. These people don't even know what authenticity is. There's a void inside of them that's like gaping. People who are like this, it's like a... It's one of the features of borderline personality. It's called like identity disturbance, where they constantly change who they are because they don't know who they are.
Well, it's also like so late. It's like at least 2 months or something, it feels like it's been since the slap, or like a month at least.
Yeah. He went to rehab for slapping people.
He went out partying like that night, and there was videos of him like shaking his ass up and like having a great time.
Yeah, he was twerking.
And it's just like, if you were going to make a video that looked that shit anyway, like, it should have been within a week of the thing happening. A month later, it's literally just like by the way, guys, little update on this thing. Chris Rock doesn't want to talk to me. I've said that I'm sorry.
I'm still a fucking idiot. I feel embarrassed. I'm sorry.
So, like, just want to make sure that you will know that.
Yeah, but you know.
I've got hats available.
Do you want to buy my merch? No, seriously, like, he went to rehab for slap. That's where he said he was, at rehab. And what kind of slapping rehab exists?
We know. We all know. Okay.
No, I don't. What is this slapping rehab?
Well, it's all dubious and speculative that he's, like, joined with Scientology, isn't it?
Oh, he went
right?
to the Scientology saunas.
Well, that's the kind of place... That's the kind of fucking rehab that you would go you to think for that, slapping someone,
so you
bro.
Think that they'd, like... He thinks it's, like, thetans got in his body, and he,
they
like...
they overtook him for a second there and just... right around Chris Rock's face.
It was a thetan. Yeah. So you think he went to, like, the Scientology, like, spa... thing or whatever.
It's not a fucking spa, bro.
What is it? Like a gulag?
Haven't you watched any of that Leah Remini fucking like interviews and stuff?
I just find her tedious because she's constantly complaining.
Great. I loved King of Queens when I was growing up, so I got a lot of time for Leah Remini.
No,
she's,
I know,
she's
but
sweet.
She just has like
She's super genuine as well, man. Yeah. Like it's like you can see it when she's talking about this stuff because she grew up in it. Her family were in it from like when she was super young.
I don't know the full story, which is why I haven't heard it, but I just keep seeing like snippets of interviews and that I'm not fully paying attention to.
It's way like she went to these places that were disgusting and like had to do this rehab for fucking, you know, whatever.
Well, so you think he got in trouble with the Scientologists and they put him in the hole?
Maybe. I don't know how powerful Will Smith is in Scientology because he doesn't super talk about it like Tom Cruise or something. He's not like a big advocate.
But he
like
keeps
that.
He made people speculate that terrible film he made with his son After Earth.
Well, it does seem that like every time a terrible actor self-produces a really shit sci-fi film, it does seem to
link
then turn
to Scientology.
Out that they are also like getting into Scientology.
Yeah.
John Travolta.
Like, but I don't know who reads L. Ron Hubbard's sci-fi and is like, this would be a great movie. Because I remember when I was working at that bookshop in Notting Hill, they had like Dianetics there and a bunch of his other works. And I like skimmed through some of his sci-fi stuff and it's terrible. It's so bad and terribly convoluted.
Oh, wait, isn't the bad guy called Xenu? Like, what the fuck? Like,
no, I just mean it's terrible writing. It's terrible, terrible writing. It's not even good.
Yeah.
And I'm always skeptical because there are quite a few of these like mystical, culty types who have written books. And like Crowley has Moonchild, which isn't bad. Like it's decent in terms of its poeticness and its fiction or whatever. But L. Ron Hubbard was just not a good science fiction writer at all.
No, but he was. That wasn't what I think he was really after: power, wealth, and fame. And that's why he was super into...
You think he was just a narcissist?
He was super into Crowley for those kinds of things. Yeah. Like, that's what the whole...
That's why he was
stuff appealed to him in that regard, because of that.
But even then, Will Smith... The Smith family are also, like, that kind of same, like, megalomaniacal, narcissistic personality. Like, that's why I feel like they've gone on this, like, massive tirade to try to promote themselves, because... As soon as Jaden was old enough to be thrust into the spotlight, he was.
Yeah.
And America reacted pleasantly to him at first when he was young in the pursuit of happiness because he was this cute little kid. But then
that was
after,
a good movie.
And it was a good movie, yeah. And same with the Karate Kid. He was sort of beloved and Will was like, oh, my success in my hair. But then they did a bunch of flops and... People grew tired.
That Scientology
yeah,
movie.
People also grew tired of Jaden and his sister's antics with all the like weird stoner Scientology shit that they were like tweeting about the nature of consciousness.
And she had that terrible song about whipping your hair or something.
Yeah, some shit like that. But it's just been like a constant battle to stay relevant and to be. And I think they've had multiple narcissistic injuries.
Mm.
And this was like the major narcissistic injury to their brand. But, like, everything is... When people adopt this kind of, like, I am a product mentality, it comes along with, like, narcissism. But narcissists tend not to be very, like, smart
I don't know at what point I sort of got switched off of Will Smith as an actor, because I did really enjoy The Pursuit of Happiness and like...
He's been flopping for years, dude. What,
I don't know flopping. That all of his films have been really highly regarded.
That stupid one he did on... No, the one he did on Netflix, that Bright whatever
one. Oh, yeah, that was
one.
Terrible.
He's done quite a lot of really, really bad movies.
That Concussion one about the...
It was a bit... It was Oscar bait.
It was, but he's done a lot of those movies.
He's done so many Oscar bait films because he wanted the fucking Oscar, and then he came on the night where he thought he was going to get his Oscar and he didn't want anything to spoil his big moment. And then he felt like what Chris Rock said was a slight to his ego, and he lashed out. Like, he's a weak, weak person. Only weak people behave like that. Only people who have like a very insecure sense of self like behave like that.
Even King Richard, though. I don't have any desire to watch King Richard.
No.
Not because of the whole controversy around it. But no. When I saw the thing, it's just like, I don't really... It's another
it's
one of him
biopic.
Trying to do like a sportsy...
Biopic
yeah,
to try and get an Oscar.
A dramatized thing of like an Oscar bait or whatever. Again,
yeah,
it's got
dude,
that feel about it.
It is. And it's like, I feel bad for him as well, because I know it's not easy as like a Black American... in the spotlight, and there's all these expectations that are put on you to be perfect and to represent the community.
We need a Hitch too,
which
bro.
Is the reason why he refuses to get divorced from his psychotic wife, because he doesn't want this idea of this ideal Black family to be blown up. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on him to like perform as like this, and I'd feel sorry for him, but like, he's allowed those expectations to completely warp and deform his personality, and I feel bad, but like, what can you do? Like, a lot of these people, I think what people are, they're crazy and they're not happy, and it's sad. Look at Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's shit. Half the shit that came out of that case is like, damn. It was just you're hearing about Johnny Depp having to use Viagra because his dick doesn't work to fuck his wife. It's like, I don't want to know this about you. I just want you to be Edward Scissorhands. I want to keep that, like, imagery intact. I don't need to know about your erectile dysfunction, like, and your fucking crazy BPD ho 20-year-old girlfriend. Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
It's like seeing Orson Welles in that wine advert.
Yeah.
It just completely...
It's just like, oh,
any
man.
Kind of gravitas as,
yeah.
like, a figure or anything he had in your mind is completely just like, I can't help but think of that fucking
yeah,
wine
man.
Advert.
It's just being that... It's or like Elvis Presley towards the end of his life when he's like... eating a lot of but he's like eating a lot of sandwiches and like shitting himself. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Oh my god, I can't breathe. Oh my god, are we gonna go see that movie?
Oh, the Elvis one?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good.
I don't really care about Elvis.
It's
I know
Baz
that's
Luhrmann,
like blasphemy.
I don't really like Baz Luhrmann.
It's blasphemy to Americans because he's such an icon over there and such a hero.
Yeah.
But I don't really care that much either. And like, I also thought the whole Priscilla Presley thing was like very creepy. Because that's like come out now. People are like, oh, he's like, he got with this like teenage bride. He had like a child bride.
Yeah, I mean,
and like they're simultaneous. It's like so disgusting because they're like performing outrage over the fact that he had a child bride. But at the same time, they've idealized Priscilla Presley as a sex icon and as this icon of feminine beauty in that sense.
Mm.
So if you're looking at Tumblr or TikTok, there's all this like romantic imagery of Priscilla Presley's looks in the 60s and oh, how beautiful and oh my gosh, she's like a young Bridget Bardot or whatever. And it's like, you guys are doing the fucking same thing. You're doing the same fucking thing, you fucking freaks. You've idea, well, like, even, like, Lana Del Rey, like, kind of, that's, like, part of her aesthetic, the whole Lolita. It's just, like, sick. It's, like, it's like the very thing that you're projecting on this person is the thing that we all do as a society. And it's just, I don't know. It was just gross.
It wasn't just his wife. Like, he had a whole thing for purity.
Yeah, dude.
It was, yeah, if someone wants to like cancel
and he had,
a
like,
fucking
weird, he had a weird,
artist, I mean, Elvis would definitely.
He had
be
a weird relationship with his mother as well. Like, he was a Freudian. He was like a Norman Bates like type dude. Like, that was a lot. His psyche was haunted for sure. But yeah, like, we didn't need to know that. Like, I hate that now. It's like it's like a disenchantment, if you know what I mean. And part of what lends Hollywood its allure and like the reason it's called like, you know, the world of dreams and stuff is the idea that there's an enchantment. And there was like a whole apparatus before that kind of stopped disenchantment from occurring by keeping certain things private and behind the scenes of the industry. But the more the media grew, the more like internet culture grows as well, the less things are kept private. And what we're seeing now is this sort of period of disenchantment where people are no longer believe in the myth of Hollywood, I guess. And I wonder how it's going to be and how that's going to impact Hollywood in the coming decades. Because the myth was so much of what drove it to power as this like massive cultural force. And now that that myth is being punctured, and there's also a massive cultural issue with censorship and like this, and they're producing all this safe, bland shit. Like, I'm curious to see where it goes. I don't think anywhere good.
Yeah. I think with Logan Paul joining the WWE now, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna have that melding of like internet kind of
and old school like media.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was interesting. I saw his podcast with Triple H, because I used to watch WWF when it was WWF, and when it transitioned into WWE, when Kane still wore a mask and The Rock was still a guy.
Yeah.
And that
speaking
era
of kayfabe.
And Triple H was like the guy. He was like one of the big wrestlers of the whole of WWE.
Yeah.
And so I was very interested because he's the director of creative or whatever now. Mm-hmm. There he's not wrestling because he's old. He's like in his 50s or whatever now. He's given that up.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan Paul was their like new signing and whatever, and mm-hmm. they were sort of like, yeah, you know, you're a fucking young kid, you know how the internet works, basically. It's really, so, it did kind of sound like that, like, we don't fucking know, bro, and we like see you as a really like creative person that understands how to resonate with young people, and we want you to fucking help us like expand and fucking do all this crazy
shit. It's perfect for Logan, because that's his whole thing. That's what launched him to public prominence, was his kayfabe.
Mm.
Him playing this larger than life internet character that was sort of a projection of like the libidinal frustration of like kids at the time, like all these sheltered kids who were kept at home in their like suburban bubbles, seeing this guy go around the world doing all the crazy things that they wish they could do, spending money recklessly, being this and that. Like, that's his character. That's his kayfabe. And wrestling is perfect for him in that sense, because wrestlers are the ones who invented kayfabe.
Well, he's made a character that you love to hate as
yeah,
well.
He's a heel. He plays a heel.
He's kind of made for wrestling in yeah. so many ways. So
Candace Owens is another one.
Not that like I'm gonna watch wrestling now that Logan Paul is a fucking wrestler, but it's interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting moment in media.
Candace Owens is another one who sort of plays the heel. Like, and this is the reason why I get really angry when people like compare me to her, because I'm like always very sincere about what I believe. And I also don't have very much in common with her politically. Maybe on some certain social issues we may agree on certain things, but like politically, no. And yeah, it annoys the shit out of me because she's doing kayfabe. Because everything she says leads to vote for the fucking Republicans, basically. So she can't fully be intellectually honest because like she has an agenda in terms of vote for this party. That's her job. Whereas I'm like pretty sincere about what I say, and I don't have a fucking agenda. I'm just speaking like off the cuff. And I feel like because everyone's so used to doing kayfabe and seeing other, it's like hard to believe when someone isn't trying to have a fucking kayfabe.
Mm.
You're like a freak or something. And yeah, it's just like weird. And I don't know. And it's becoming more normalized, and it fucks me off.
If you could find like the Coke media lobbying kind of, you know, black book of what the points we want to push and the years of that, and you lined it up with either stations or particular journalists like Candace Owens or whoever, you could basically then follow who would be being paid to say
what. Yeah, say what, exactly.
Because you could see it year by year as they all shift and change and whatever, because they always do.
Yeah.
And at the time, I remember when like Candace Owens was on Joe Rogan, I'm so sure that like there was like even on Fox News they were doing so much like climate change just right out of denial.
Yeah.
Of like the science is bullshit and like it just doesn't, it's not real. Fossil fuels are great, like keep fucking going.
Yeah.
And when he was saying about it on his podcast, she was like, I just don't believe science.
Like, yeah, that but that's the thing. It's not just not just even that. Like, I don't care about any of that stuff. It's the fact that when she was on his show, she couldn't relax into being a normal person, which is the whole point of being on Joe Rogan's podcast, is like having a human conversation. And there are lots of people who are more official per se. Like when Bernie was on, like he's a politician, he has to be more official. But when they go on Joe Rogan's show, they're like more relaxed because that's the kind of environment it is. But she couldn't. She constantly has a stick up her ass because she's constantly doing kayfabe. She's constantly fucking performing because that's what she's fucking paid to do. By whatever fucking conservative or Republican institutions that she's paid to do it for. And then also she has the temperament and personality for it, because in order to do that, you either have to be like Zen levels of detached, or you probably have some kind of antisocial personality cue. And even though I don't have anything really against her or whatever, I wouldn't want to fucking be near her she seems like a nasty person, in my opinion. Like, not because of anything I disagree with, blah, 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 blah. It's just, like, her temperament and her the way she carries herself is very unpleasant.
Snappy.
Yes. It's very unpleasant. And you'd have to be an unpleasant, or unless that's your character, and that's exactly, but even then, that shit gets rewarded. Like I was saying, that guy at the beginning, the fucking podcast guy, he's clearly doing an act, and, like, the leftists who get mad about people like him and like Candace Owens and shit like that, they love it because it excites their libidinal desire to have something to pounce on and create content out of. Mm. And they have this like, it's almost erotic tension because they're both fucking feeding off each other and getting mutual benefit through the way they like bait each other in the attention economy. And then I don't understand how other people can't see how this works and how they buy it and like take it seriously, and how they could take anyone seriously who would talk to one of these people seriously either. Because I feel like you can always tell when someone's not genuine about what they're saying, you know, when they don't actually have any convictions, they're just trying to get the most like inflammatory response. But then there's also the problem that when you say things that go against the grain, people lump you into the same category as those people.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're just a contrarian. You're just trying to get a response or whatever. So, I don't know. It's just a mess. And, like, it wouldn't bother me so much if it wasn't for the fact that it's bleeding into real life. I've seen a lot of proud Disney adults walking around, a lot of proud TikTok people walking around. And it's going to grow. It's going to get worse. Everybody's got tics now. Like, there was this thing where, like, teenage girls were being diagnosed with tics that they had, like, gotten from TikTok consumption. This is the future.
Just ban that bloody app already. Like, what is going on?
Get rid of it.
Like, I swear they were putting it up for review in America again because of all of this shit. Like, this just sort it out, man. This is crazy. It's doing a lot of damage to people.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. It is crazy. But anyway, we love you, but we gotta leave you for this week because we are tired and it is late. But thank you guys so much for listening in. And if you want to hear more from us, if you want to join our book club, we are currently reading Carl Jung's Red Book together. And the episodes that we've recorded are up on the Patreon, so you can join the Patreon. If you join the Patreon, you also join our Discord and talk to us. You can also get access to bonus episodes too. I also have a new video out on my channel about why millennials are obsessed with teenage angst. So go check that out on Angie Speaks if you haven't already. It's on YouTube. Thank you guys so much for listening. Catch you later. Goodbye.
Bye.